get started,
our next speaker is Saulo
de Oliveira Contehede.
Yeah.
And he'll be speaking about coding the Greek New Testament in an open source environment. So Saulo, please go ahead. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here and to present to give a talk about this research that I'm almost done with that. So I spent like 1 year doing that. It was a blessing and also an opportunity to learn new skills. My background is in astrophysics, so I learn a lot of coding, but I'm using in theology right now. I'm studying the Master of Divinity at Andrews University. So so let me just summarize. I have a part of this work, this research was made in partnership with the, I don't know how to pronounce that name, but it's the Freedom, it's the Free University of Amsterdam. So they have as well a center for studying the languages and ancient materials. So you had that partnership with them. So half of the people here in this group. So basically the Bible was written a long time ago, and the way that the sacred text passed along the time changed a lot. So we had like the papyrus, and then later we have the codex. But mainly that way is by hand writing. So we had a lot of them, but these manuscripts, they didn't take so much time, but hopefully we found them, and most of them were preserved, like the Codex Vaticanus. But then later we had the printing press that was invented. So we have right now an opportunity to have more Bibles, and that material later on with the advent of internet and also the social media, we have access, an easy access to the Bible. However, thinking about academic perspective, only in the 1980s, we had the opportunity to have some softwares to search and to discover more about how can we engage with the Word of God. And there are two softwares that are very famous. Maybe you know about them. I use one of them in my research. However, when we are looking for a more rigorous approach and using in advanced research like linguistics, it's very complicated to use those softwares because we, in the field, we want data collection that you can trust and that you have a transparent analysis and you know what's happening. Also, you want to reproduce the query. So if you have the setup in your computer, if your peer reviewer is looking for that material, you want to see the same thing. But sometimes, because there are some updates in the codes and things like that, so we don't have that thing. Also, there is a lot of sharing data. So how can I share data so I build something so it's good? And also, we have a contribution, because in this field, that's digital humanities, it's very good to have that kind of sharing. So I produce one thing, so how can I just share or import my queries for a paper, for an article? So using all these considerations, so later it was developed another software that I will talk about that tries to solve that using open, in an open environment. So using open data and also an open source. So in this work, I will report a data conversion project that transformed an existing open source XML Greek New Testament data into this text fabric software. And I used that, and with this new data, I can have a morphological and syntactical queries, and this is available for research both in theology field or even in linguistic field. So I just mentioned about text fabric, but what's that? So TextFabric was developed by Dirk Rohde in 2017. So it's a very recent software. So he developed that software because of all those issues. And it's a kind of progression in evolution in how he made the first software. It was called Shibank. And then we had LeftFabric and then TextFabric. And even its online Shibank is very known by people that are interested in the biblical Hebrew. So the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible is available there. So it's very easy. You can search, you can use, and also the query is saved. So if you want to publish an article with that material, you just copy the link there. So it has all this information. But the powerful approach of TextFabric is its internal representation. That's a graph. So basically, we have for all the words, this was made first for the Hebrew Bible. So we have, as in the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew, they start from the right to left. So we have for each word that we say that's a slot. So we have all, for all words, the slots. And then we have the features for each word. So for instance, part of speech, the transliteration, and then we have the text, but we can add more information as well. So what we can build on the slots are we can put syntactical information. So that's the difference. And also, I can just change. Imagine I say, oh, I'm not satisfied that these words, they combine, they function as a clause. So for me, a condition is a little bit bigger, so you can change that. And because you just have the numbers for each container. So this is the powerful way that TextFabric has. And at the end, we have just TF files that basically we have the information here. So this is an example for the Greek New Testament. So for each line, we have a sequence order for the words. In this case, I'm using for lemma, but if we have other features like the syntactical gender, so you can put here part of speech, you can put here for each line. So this is very powerful. So the data source that I used was the XML low-fat trees published by the Clear Bible. And this was developed during many years. I will explain a little bit in the next slides. But the basic data for that is the Nestle 1904 version for the Greek New Testament. But you may ask, but maybe why you are using an old version like that? We had the Nestle Aland that was published a few years ago. And the idea is that this version is the is an open source data. If you use that other source, you have to pay royalties and you have issues with copyright. But the difference, like for the text itself, is not too much. The only difference is more in the critical apparatus. So basically, what we have is that it's available online. You can use Internet Archive. So we have the scanned text, and someone, and then I discovered doing this this work, that was a Brazilian that made that. I'm Brazilian as well. So Diego Renato dos Santos made the transcription of the text, just typing all text. And then later on, someone just added the XML markup, and then the morphological, the lemmas, and all the syntactical structures. So we have here the text, and then it was added all the informations. But this is just morphology. Later on, it was added the syntax information. So why that's important? Because it carries the syntactical boundary. So we have here a clause, and then it makes a sentence, and then we can also add more phrases and so on. So basically, at the end, our small text that we had before, like this, we can expand and have, it has like right now a large amount of data. As you can see there, it's very small, the letters, but you have the sense of how this works. So our conversion process was made following basically that structure. So the first version of the code was made by Dirk as an approach to that, and then later on the rest of people in the team worked on that. And but I focused more in the end of the part of the conversion. And so basically first we start the code doing some verification in the XML code to see if not it's not missing one part, because it's a very important part. And then we go to made a setup and defining the slots, what are the kind of slots, words, characters, some other elements. So after that, we just walk for each element, and then we are looking for if those elements, they have children or elements there in the XML data. And then later on, we just save those informations that we are carrying, and save also, we calculate the parent and siblings features. I'll explain later what that means. And then if that node, it has children, which means in the XML data, we have that tree, that information, it go back and repeats again until it reaches the word. And if there is no more structure there, it finish the code and save more information. So basically we save those informations like that. So if you have a word, we consider as a slot node, and these information are saved as a node features. And we have as well for the double G, that stands for the word group. That's a general label for clauses and phrases and other syntactical features as non-slot nodes. But we save as well those features, and then we save up and we finish with the conversion. At the end, we had over 50 features that were calculated and obtained in the TF dataset from the XM data. So we have these different features. We have grid, sectional, orthographic, lexical data. We have text critical features, morphological, syntax, semantic, and relational data. So we have a bunch of things. My focus was in trying to not doing the conversion itself, but trying to focus in the end user, because sometimes, as I just mentioned, we have the word group view that just put like word group, but people and theologians specifically, they are looking for clauses, sentences. So how can we relate both things? So one of the ideas was just change the XML data itself. However, I took the approach of doing a parallel view. So the code is doing two things at the same time. But the idea is that if someone has a question about our conversion here, it can go back to that one and look for what's in the data. So we have here some parallel thing, and we just use the nomenclature for someone that's used to see the Hebrew data in the ATCBC database, and then it can relate with that. So this is how it looks like our conversion. So we have at the end, when you run a Jupyter notebook, you can find that. So for the word group view and for the syntax view. And we have here after the slot, the same information as there, as a thing that you can compare. It should be there. In Greek, we have something interesting that's called the postpositive conjunctions, like D, gar. These conjunctions, they appear in the middle, like as the second word. And this is kind of annoying because when you're doing the XML, they should be, as they don't belong to the sentence there, to the phrase there, you have to do one way of removing it. So what they made, the people that were doing the model, they just moved the word. But when we are doing the first versions of our conversion, we saw that, and then we are reading and said, no, but that's not correct. So we had to go in one way of doing a kind of breaking the container here for that double G, and then later for that phrase, and to put in the correct order. Later on, we calculated the syntactical parent. That's basically saying that which word belongs to the container above, and then we can use that way. That's the difficult part. But using just this specific way here, we can go easily with that. So the same way with the siblings. So I can right now look for, in this case, clauses that are, they share the same verse. So we can see here that we can use that specific command. And even if I'm looking for, like in this case, words that they have more than one sibling, so they are distant, I can use easily this part. And verbal frame as well. We have information here that can highlight that. We changed some formats in the text. So this is a part of Mark 1.1. And we add some information. And then because of that, we have right now six types of text. So right now, someone can use and look for a text and see a text with and without critical signs, for instance. Then we had a huge work with the documentation. So a partner, Tony, he made a doc for TF when he automatically generated a software that can just run everything, all the TF data, and then generate a page on GitHub. So everything is available online there. You can download, you can use it. And also we, like it's just an example here, but we try to mimic and export all this data here for the Bible Online users. So people that access that website, also it's free, is everybody can have access, but there's an integration with that. This project also, we are publishing more two papers with this subject. So in the following months, it will be available. So this is our web page that you can access. And this is part of the publication of this conversion process. So as a conclusion, so I just presented an overview of this conversion process. And we use it an open source and open data to create this annotated data that can be used by theologians, by linguistics. And this is an example of how a collaborative project is important, is an example for the future of the humanities, because it's easy for someone just use a private software. It's fine, there's no problem with that. But when you have collaborative work, it's better for the community. Thank you so much.
Work, or maybe even dangerous, I don't know, to do, to invite public yet control so that we can invite people into knowing syntax and learning by actually doing, and maybe the experts. One thing that concerns me in science, we get compartmentalized and then polarized. And Wikipedia does a great job of breaking through that and has been successful. Can this be used that way, or is that not so?
And you are commenting about and asking about the collaborative part as Wikipedia has.
Right.
I agree with you, and this data that we use it was made as that part. As we are doing the conversion, we discovered some errors that, like, for some reason, there was one element in the XML file that was missing one part, so there was an error. We just contact the person in GitHub. There is one part available that you can just send issues that and bugs that we find with that specific software, and then the person will update that in future versions. We just choose one way that we just froze. Don't take like an update version, because in 1 year they release like new versions of the data that we use it. So we just leave as that. But as we just release the canonical version, we will take these new versions and contribute with them with more inputs, and it's free to everyone. And I think that's the idea, because if you have inputs, the users, they say, oh, this is good, this is not good. And this is also what I expect for people that will use this software, and they will say, oh, you missed something here, or maybe this condition for this sentence or clause is not working well. What you can do for me? And then we will work on and help the software and improve it a little bit more.
And just to drill down on that, I think it's really important that the public is able to see comments of others, and maybe that go to a side text file and not necessarily become part of the main body until that is solved, but it bites them in a way that I normally don't see.
Yeah, the way that we do this software on GitHub, that's our public repository. You have access, you can comment. It's like a thread that you can put comments and see and open a private one. There is our contact there that you can send a message and a question. It's good, and I think that's the future of humanities.
Thank you.
Yeah, so go back to the
Wikipedia
This one?
The third to last. From the end, go back to. Go to the end. Okay, now go back to. One, two. Yeah, okay. So you use Nestle Allen 1904.
Just Nestle.
Oh, Nestle. Oh, yeah.
Just Nestle.
Allen, Allen wasn't around yet. Okay. Instead of Nestle Allen 2000 something, because this is open source, and otherwise you would be breaking copyright laws.
Yes,
right?
That's what your question?
Well, that's the first part of my question.
Okay.
Yeah. So there are some differences, but like I looked at Axe quite a bit. There's probably a total of about 50 differences. So that's interesting. So
you are questioning about the version that we used of the Greek New Testament. Yes, we used that version because this is the version available as an open data. But here and there, we compared also with Cascadia, that it's available on Logos. And also here and there with this last version. One example is with this critical text here. The first version that was used by the person that transcribed it doesn't have this part. So in 1904, that version, it doesn't have. But the version that he used later, he used two versions, but because one of the scanned documents wasn't too good. But the 1913 version has this thing in brackets, so the person added, but there is just this minor difference. But for the Nestle Island version, of course, we have more stuff, but we cannot do it. But it's just like for one word, two words, a few verses, the difference.
Yeah.
So it is still worthy, the text.
Yeah, and that's probably pretty typical of differences. So I don't know what Yahweh is, but the other one is God, of course.
Is Jesus Christ, Son of God.
Son of God, yeah, okay. So that really gets at the core of the differences. While you're answering other people's questions, I wonder if you could go advance one more. Go back to the one I first asked you to. No, I'm sorry. Go to the end and then come back to. I'm sorry. Yeah, right there. Okay, because I want to write down that HTTPS.
Okay. Yeah, this is the web page that is available. The website, and you have this nice view, and you can click here and have more information about the text format, the features. There's a whole table, a big table with that information, and also the view and types.
Computer scientists use GitHub all the time, but it's neat to see digital humanities using a similar platform. It's great for collaboration.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other questions? We've got a minute or two left.
Is what you're doing patterned off of your work with other texts and other language combinations, or is this a paradigm that should be thought of for, say, better understanding across language barriers that are of contemporary interest?
So if I understood your question correctly, you are asking about if this is just one example of the Greek text that we are using, and if there is other texts that use the same approach or something like that.
For example, could I take your method and apply it to understanding something in Chinese?
Yes, of course. Actually, Text Fabric was built to analyze the Hebrew text, but today it's used by different. If you go actually to the website of the Text Fabric, they use for Old Babylonian, they use for even not sacred text, because it's just a way that you can arrange the text. And as they don't have right now the Greek New Testament until a few months ago, so right now they have the project. Okay.
Let's thank our speaker.